Luke chapter 6, verse 39. Yeah, I'm totally off my game, so just bear with me today. And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Neither how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth forth good corrupt, For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Often when we refer to Jesus, we often call him the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we frequently start our prayers with, Dear Lord. Although we often call him Lord, it can be so easy to ignore his teachings and to live our lives according to our own standards and ideas. This is a trap that's very easy for us to fall into. We need to consider all that this means in our daily life. Our text today contains one of the most convicting verses in the whole Bible, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, we live in a society where many people claiming the title Christian while living a life of complete disobedience to the Word of God. It's the way of the world anymore. This can be the case even in sound Bible-believing churches. The thing is, it can be easy to point our fingers at those around us who are living in sin, but so often we ourselves are just as guilty of calling Christ our Lord without doing what he asks of us. When we disregard the word of God, we are saying with our actions that we have greater wisdom than God does, that we know better what's good for our lives. We're not taking God's word for it. We ignore the lordship authority that God rightfully has over our lives. Don't forget, your life is bought and paid for by the blood of Christ. A godly Christian is under authority. That is, a man or woman who lives with the recognition that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're going to look at the conclusion, and this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and take a look at a couple of ways that this lordship affects us, in the ways that we can express our submission to his lordship. And I don't have the keys across the top. Let's see here. Hold on. There we go. Okay, how's that? That's not even close. Hold on. Let's go back here. I can't see what's on here. There we go. Thank you. Somebody needs a... Actually, that's the wrong one. I think I've got it. That's like the next one. All right. First thing is we need to follow the Lord. Verses 39 and 40. And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind, and shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. In order to lead others wisely... Thank you. And make no mistake, we lead people every day, whether you realize it or not. Husbands lead their families, wives lead their children. To lead others wisely, we must recognize our own weaknesses. Without Christ, we have no direction or wisdom to lead. We must first follow the Lord. Why? Because blindness is our hindrance. We're on track. We're good. We're all blind without the Lord. We're as lost as a sheep who wanders away. Isaiah 53, all we like his sheep have gone astray, gone astray, where every We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's hard enough to teach like this. It's really hard to do it if you don't have your A game. So you got to bear with me today. All we like sheep have gone astray. Although we are naturally blind spiritually, God has provided a light for us so that we can know his way, so that we can know the right way. That light is his word. And of course, I did that too soon. Spend time in God's word to have wisdom and get guidance. No matter how busy or hectic life may get, make it a priority to spend priority time in God's word, with God every day in his word. Because without it, your life's going to be hectic and busy. But you'll be trying to live that life like a blind man. You'll be hectic and busy without any guidance or wisdom. Make daily time in God's word a top priority. Make time for prayer and ask for wisdom. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. Even though we are naturally blind, God has given us a light that we can follow. Given us that which we need to live for him, live properly for him. There are many today, even in leadership positions, who do not seek God's wisdom, and they too are spiritually blind. All of us need to follow Jesus Christ if we're going to go in the right direction. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside on the vain jangling. That's the idea of their own thoughts and plans and stuff. Desiring to be teachers of the law and understanding neither what they say or aware of they affirm. While we are to give honor to those God has placed in leadership over us, we must choose to follow God over men if men lead us away from God. We must choose to honor God, to follow God over men if men lead us away from God. The disciples did exactly that sort of thing. Saying, did we not straightly command you that you should not teach in this name, speaking of Jesus? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. How I'd love to fill North Mitchell with our doctrine. How cool would that be? Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. These concepts go for political leaders also. This is a big deal, especially these days. We cannot control what decisions our leaders make, but we can control how we respond as followers. There are blind leaders, but there are also blind followers, too. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Excuse me. Everywhere we go, we see followers who have rejected the teachings in the Bible and have gone to false teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear so that they can live however they want to live. You know, an incredibly enormous percentage of our churches today who claim to be Christian are doing this exact same thing. And that's why they have so many followers. Everywhere we go, we see followers who have rejected the teachings of the Bible and gone to false teachers. This emphasizes the importance of discipleship in our churches. A growing Christian is going to need to choose God's direction rather than his own thoughts or his own will or his own direction. And a growing Christian will need to recognize the need to follow spiritual leaders who are also following Christ. Paul said, be followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. This is a bold thing for Paul to say. You've got to be right with God to utter something like that. You really do. We cannot allow ourselves to stray from sound doctrine to go our own way. But we must follow God's word and those who obey it and carefully preach it and teach it. A spiritual leader will follow the Lord because he recognizes he is spiritually blind without the Lord. But there is another reason to follow the Lord. Today, please, work today. Thank you. Because Jesus is our goal. He's the one thing that we're always actively striving to. We desperately need the Lord in everything that we do. We need to be looking to Jesus Christ as our goal in all things. Every part of our life. Look at verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. The idea of perfect means mature or complete. You know, nobody's going to be perfectly sinless on this side of heaven. None of us are going to be above the Lord either. But those that are mature are becoming like Christ. That's the whole idea here. The idea that you're becoming like Christ. Spiritual maturity comes as they submit to the Lord in humble obedience, following him wherever he leads, just like Paul. Be followers of me as I also am of Christ. When the Apostle Paul said this, he understood that he was asking others to follow him, and that following was dependent on him being a complete follower of Jesus Christ. You can't expect anybody else to follow you like Christ if you're not going to do it yourself. This is where a lot of churches these days lose their people, lose their leaders, because the people can understand that he's not living right, he's not making good, sound biblical decisions. They're not going to follow him. And that's exactly why the churches are coming apart. Every father or mother should say to his or her family, follow me as I follow Christ. Every husband should say to his wife, follow me as I follow Christ. As we look to Christ for guidance on how to lead, consider the type of leader that Jesus was while he was here on the earth. This is cool. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Try that for a day or two and see how that fits. Made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The example of Christ for each and every one of us. If we want to lead the way Christ would, we must follow the mind of Christ in humility, service, and sacrifice. To be a good husband, you need to follow Christ. To be a good parent, you need to follow Christ. Vance Havner said this, a wife who is 85% faithful to her husband is not faithful at all. There is no such thing as part-time loyalty to Jesus Christ. There are no part-time disciples. There are no part-time Christians. There are no secret servants. If you want to be any kind of a leader at all comes back to following Christ. A true leader follows the Lord. But there's more. But wait, there's more. Like six pages more. Like this little drop of sweat keeps running down into my nose here. No, leave them. We're fine. Good leadership is not just about what you do, but also about how you do it. Okay? This is where I fail so many times. A spiritual leader will have the right attitude, an attitude of humility. We need to walk in humility. Luke 6, verses 41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say unto thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. The biggest reason that we refuse the lordship of Christ is pride. We want to do what we want to do. You know, my agenda comes first. A Christian under the lordship of Christ will allow the Lord to be in charge of his life. This is a big deal. A large part of what makes a disciple is just submission to Christ. You know, godly marriage is a matter of submission. Godly children are a matter of submission. Godly Christian life is a matter of submission to Christ. This is what we got to do. This is what the whole thing is all about. And as soon as I find my place, I can keep on going here. If we are to walk in humility, we have to deny the prideful tendencies of the flesh. Notice the characteristics of true humility. True humility is not critical. Jesus explained humility in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? It can be so easy to find the problems in other people while staying blind to the problems in ourselves. Extraordinarily easy thing to do. You know, a mote is like a little piece of straw, just a little something. Yeah, I wear contacts, and I get a little eyelash behind one of my contacts. It's like somebody's digging in there with an ice pick. You know, and that's just what a mote is. It's just something little bitty thing that, you know, nobody else would be able to see except you. The idea of the beam is like a 2x8 to build a house with. You know, it's a log. It's a huge piece of lumber. And you know, that's fine. It's usually our own sins, when we see them in other people, that's what makes us nuts. You know, I've always noticed that. When I sit back to analyze the situation, I realize that, you know, things that make me crazy are the things that I see in other people that I see in myself. The Word of God makes it clear that true humility is not critical of others. Someone under the Lordship of Christ recognizes that only the Lord is perfect. And the rest of us are still growing. The rest of us are still a work in progress. Yet ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are not showing grace when we are critical. That's just the way it is. As we walk in humility, we are more concerned with our own walk than with the flaws of others. That's the big deal here. Fix myself first, worry about everybody else later. You know, regardless of where you are in life, whether you're married, have kids, have family, brothers and sisters, yes, it's all important, but the only thing that really matters is your relationship between you and the Lord. If this is right, everything else will even itself out and be okay. And this is what the Lord keeps emphasizing over and over and over again. Humility sees our need for growth. Humble Christians understand that they always have room to grow spiritually. Verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, For of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, the mouth speaketh. Tell you, don't have my A game today at all. Chances are, if you're a part of this gathering today, you want to see good fruit produced in your life. You're in church for a reason. The tree in verse 43 is a symbol of the heart. The humble man recognizes the necessity of keeping a humble, tender heart towards God. The fruit in this passage refers to the actions or attitudes that come forth from that heart. The actions are the fruit. The fruit is connected to the root of the tree. Therefore, your life is going to reveal the true nature of your heart. Jesus said this. Wherefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. You know, everybody tucks tail and runs and hides when somebody thinks they're being judged. You know, we judge each other all the time. We're supposed to judge other people. We're supposed to judge ourselves first. We're supposed to judge. You cannot make a good decision in the Christian life without taking a judgment of the situation, you know. So we're supposed to judge. And it says, by their fruits you shall know them. You know, if there's somebody who's not living for Christ, you can see it in their life. You can see this. I try to stay away from the rabbit trails. Consider the way that you act, the things that you say, the way that you dress, the things that you do, and consider what these things say about your heart. What makes a person say things that are harsh? What causes a person to dress in a provocative or inappropriate manner? Why do we continue to sin against God even after all that He has done for us? These fruits reveal pride at the roots and the need for reading, prayer, and spending time with God every day. You know, the one thing that's going to betray the time that you spend with God is the way you act out in the world. Count on it. And don't be afraid, you know, don't be upset if somebody looks and sees and they can see exactly how much time you spend with God. Yeah. Expect it. It's going to happen. Every humble Christian will recognize the importance of inward growth, starting with the heart. As you seek to be the leader that God wants you to be, continually ask the Lord to show you the areas of your life that need improvement. This is one thing we must do. It's part of humble submission to Christ. Show me where I'm messing up. Show me where I'm not right. Show me where I'm offending people. Your relationship with the Lord needs to be two-sided in that way. And as you seek to be the leader that God wants you to be, continue to ask Him about this. In fact, David said exactly that same thing. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is a picture of a heart that's surrendered to God, submitted to God. All of us need to open our hearts before God. We really do. Ask Him to show us what needs to change. A man or a woman under the lordship of God follows the Lord, walks in humility, and builds on the truth. Because many in this world blindly follow the lies of Satan, we need to be building our lives on the eternal truth of God's Word. In the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explains how necessary it is for us to build our lives on the truth. Verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's drawing a picture, a very clear, very easy to understand picture. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Now when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, which when the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I lost my place again. Oh, this is going to drive me nuts. You talk about building a house upon the rock. That rock is Christ. The foundation that we build upon that rock is biblical truth. Okay? You can build all the biblical truth that you want. If it's not founded on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, it's going to fall. Your relationship with Christ must be the very first thing that everything else is based on. The Lord desires for us to have a spiritual house strong enough so that when the floods come, it stands strong. That we can maintain a good, solid testimony in the middle of whatever this world can throw at us. It's one of the things I praise God for is, you know, big. Got a report of cancer here 6 months ago. And whatever you guys all know about it. It's been fun to watch her go through it. Because she's glorified God in it. It was, you know, initially she was, we got the first, we'll take a minute here, we got the first diagnosis when we went to the doctor's office. And he says, well, it's cancer. You know, walks like a duck, smells like a duck, looks like a duck. It's a duck, it's cancer. And so we finished the rest of the appointment, went out in the car, and she was just thoroughly upset, just crying and upset. And I told her, she said, look at me. I said, repeat after me. I have cancer. And she said, I have cancer. I said, it's going to be okay. And she said, it's going to be okay. From that moment on, she just gained strength and rolled. And she glorified God through the whole thing. She managed to maintain a solid, good testimony through the whole thing. It was just incredible. It really was. And when the world sees something like that, it's powerful. Make no mistake. People are watching. People know. People notice. And people watch. And those who care will notice. It's a big deal. And once again, I've completely lost my place. If we're neglecting Christ and making ourselves the Lord of our lives, we're building our houses on sand, which will disintegrate when the storm comes. The Bible clearly lays out the blueprints for building our lives on the truth. One of those things that is true. That's not supposed to be next. That's really not supposed to be next. That's all right. I must have checked this thing 5 times. We need to submit to the truth. The illustration that Jesus gives, a house on a rock and a house on a stand, is a story of man's response to the truth. Look at verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. You know, all throughout society, even in many churches, the truth is not taught or followed today. It really isn't. You know, as we further deviate from the truth, society continues to fall apart. Look around. It's everywhere. It really is everywhere. We must come to God, hear his truth, and consent to it, agree to it, submit to it, with faith in God and his word. You can only get faith one way. There it is, like two slides too late. Gotta love it. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is where faith comes from God's word. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, they received the word, they received his letter as not the word of a man, but as the word of God. This is a cool thing when you get into it. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Paul praised God for this very thing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh in all you that believe. Excuse me. You know, it's funny. There are many who put the words of men and the words of God on an equal plane. There's a lot who do that. The Roman Catholic Church glories in the fact that it's equal. They think it's equal. They deny the infallibility of scriptures, and there are many who ridicule the fact that we take the word of God liberally, the Bible literally. They think we're nuts. We will not build strong families or a strong nation until we get back to a conviction that the Bible is the word of God. Period. It is crucially important to live in a state of agreement with God's word. We must submit to the truth, and secondly, we must construct upon that truth. I got one right. You're going to love it. All right. Verse 48. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. When you're building a building, the most important part of the project is the foundation. Laying the foundation may not seem like an exciting part of the project. It really isn't. You know, when you start seeing walls go up and things go happening outside, that's the fun and exciting part. But that's not the important part. Without a good foundation, none of those walls are going to stay up. Although it's fun to watch, none of that's going to happen. When we finally start seeing the sticks go up on the side over here, it's going to be a beautiful thing. We're going to be excited. But without a good foundation, those walls will not stay up. You don't want to take shortcuts in putting in a foundation. It must be solid. It must be strong. You don't want to take shortcuts in building your life upon the truth. As you construct your life, you want it to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Isn't it funny how Jesus talks about how important the foundation is, and Paul considers himself a wise master builder? You know, Paul believed in discipleship. He believed in the Word of God. He believed in building his life upon the Word of God. More importantly, he believed in others building their lives upon the Word of God. And he was sold out to the idea of teaching it to others. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation, the infrastructure that is built where no man can see it. Underground, inside the walls, out of sight. All the infrastructure of a house is built where nobody can see it. There's no glory in that. The Christian life is built the same way. Out of sight, where nobody can see it. Prayer time, Bible time, nobody sees that. But this is where your life is going to be built. And without this foundation, you cannot build an effective Christian testimony. It just can't happen. When you build your life on the truth of Jesus Christ, you will avoid the tragedy of destruction. Verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. It is a tragedy when people lose their physical houses, obviously. But it's even worse when a life falls apart spiritually. As we hear the warning that Jesus gave, we must purpose to do what he says and not just read it and forget about it. Not just hear it. It's Bible concept, in fact. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man, missing a word there. He is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his own way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There are many who have heard the biblical teachings that have not done anything about what they've heard. There are people who come to church 3 times a week who hear it, and have done nothing to commit that thing to their own lives. Hearing the truth and not following it leads to tragedy. You cannot build your house upon the world, upon popular culture, upon worldly living. making selfish choices or any other alternate foundation. You must build upon that rock, which is Jesus Christ. If we build with the wrong materials, our lives will crumble in times of difficulty. In fact, I have it right here. And these are likewise the which are sown on stony ground, which when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Roots are the foundation of a tree. They must be deep. They must be set into solid stuff. They've got to be set into solid stuff. There are plenty of Christians who choose to live their lives any way that they want to. They may refer to Jesus as Lord, but He is not the Lord of their lives. The Pew Research Center, which is a think tank in D.C., they report that about 30% of adults regularly go to church. And this includes evangelicals and Catholics and everybody. Keep in mind, going to church is the easy part. You show up in church, just on Sunday morning for most. Not even for Sunday school or Sunday night or Wednesday night, and live for myself the rest of the week. True discipleship is an all-day, everyday endeavor. Taking time to pray every day, to read your Bible every day. You know, more importantly, when temptations occur, you must be ready. The new hot babe at work walks by. Or the lottery gets into the millions and millions and millions of dollars. Or the opportunity to hear some juicy gossip walk up to you. If you are not a disciple when that happens, you will not glorify God in that situation. Period. Period. Like I say, going to church is the easy part. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do you call Him Lord and don't read your Bible? Do you call Him Lord and not take the time to pray every day? To spend time with Him on purpose? Do you call Him Lord and you're not aware of His presence in your life at all times? Do you call Him Lord and do nothing to grow the relationship, to help the relationship to grow? It is a two-way street. It is said that Jesus Christ is not valued at all unless He is valued. Let me try that again. It is said that Jesus Christ is not valued at all if He is not valued above all. Do we allow Him the rightful place in our lives that He should have? As the King in every aspect of our lives. Living for Christ is a choice. A choice that we have to make on purpose, in faith, every day, when nobody's watching, when nobody's looking. Do we?